Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So the manifestation of the Spirit, this is part 5. Manifestation of the Spirit. This is part 5. Hallelujah. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start from verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, or through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's write. We began to examine two major truths. About spirituals in Christ from this text of the Bible. We began to examine two major truths concerning spirituals in Christ from this text of the Bible. Two major truths. And what are they? Number one, that the things of the Spirit are commonplace. Hallelujah. Commonplace. Number two, that they are for the profit of all. The things of the Spirit are commonplace and they are for the profit of all. Praise God. Two major truths about spirituals in Christ. One, the things of the Spirit are commonplace and they are for what? The profit of all. Let's keep writing. The implication of this is that every believer can walk in the things of the Spirit. The implication of this is that every believer can walk in the things of the Spirit. The implication of this is that every believer can walk in the things of the Spirit. There's no special grace for the things of the Spirit. Every believer has it. Every believer can walk and experience the things of the Spirit. That's the implication. Also, they aren't an exclusive preserve of some specially graced persons in the body. So what did I say is the implication? Every believer can walk in things of the Spirit. Also, they aren't some exclusive preserve of some specially graced persons in the body. Hallelujah. Also, this means the things of the Spirit are not for self-glorification. Praise God. This means the things of the Spirit are not for what? Self-glorification. But for the profit of the body. This means the things of the Spirit are not for self-glorification, but for the profit of the body. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, you know, we start from verse 1, and then we see Paul showing us a distinction between idolatry, spirituals in Christ. That's where we started the study from. And Paul made it known to the Corinthians, and to us by extension, how that the realm of spirit is vast, and that there's a distinction between spirituals in Christ and what we find elsewhere. Hallelujah. So, in Christ, what sets or what distinguishes the things of spirit in Christ is the gospel, the message. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm now showing you from the same chapter of the Bible that the Spirit of God operating in our midst, or the things of the Spirit that are found in Christ, are common to us. They are things we all can walk in. Also, the motive of the gift of the things of the Spirit is for the profit of people. Hallelujah. It is for what? Edification. It is not for self-glorification. So most times when you find people who are under pressure to just show something, manifest the gift, let people know that they are working in something, the motive or the underlying intent most times is just so that people will feel like, ah, the guy is spiritual. Amen. How many of us remember the first time? You remember the first time you spoke in tongues? How did you feel? Huh? Well, a new level. Praise God. And then you stand in the midst of people, you blast, you try and want them to know that you two, you are not talking in tongues. That mode is a babyish attitude. Hallelujah. And it's understandable because you are just starting and it's new to you. But, you know, a man must mature away from that kind of intention. And till now, in certain prayer meetings, the reason why some people pray loud is not because they want to even edify themselves. They are just trying to make people know that they can talk in tongues loud and they can go for hours. Praise God. For some, it is the sound of their tongues. So when you listen to such people, the tongues, it's so refined. It sounded like a German language. Praise God. Or maybe Chinese. So yeah, but why tongues there? How old they go? I remember going to minister in a place and there's this particular lady, and then, this is a praying machine. Hallelujah. And you know, she enjoys it when people say that. And I've been at different places, but that's not the motive or the intent of the things of the Spirit. Amen. Why am I to build up myself so I can also edify others? Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's keep writing. So, spirituals in Christ, or let's say the operations of the things of the Spirit in Christ, the operations of the things of the Spirit in Christ are different from what is found in idolatry, or as some would say, idolatry. Praise God. Which of them is right? Maybe both. I don't know. Praise God. The operations of the Spirit, Grammarly, which one of them is right? I be grammar glued. Praise God. The operations of the things of the Spirit in Christ are different from what is found in idolatry, sorcery, or magic. Way different from what we find in idolatry, sorcery, or magic, as we saw in the example of Simon the sorcerer. How many of us remember the example? Simon the sorcerer. As we saw in the example of Simon the sorcerer, Acts of Apostles 8, 9 to 11. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 8, 9 to 11. So Simon the sorcerer was just in the midst of men. Bible says he was astonishing them. Another version says he was bewitching them. He had bewitched them for a long time. So people will come around. In Yoruba language, they will say, oh, amen. So the man is there doing things, just performing, and people are watching and they are astonished. Glory to God. Heard of a story of some missionaries who went to preach in a certain village, and when they got there, there was a man, a priest in the town, and he was levitating. He would go fall down on his face and just, you know, levitate, be suspended in the air. And then people were watching in amazement. That was another great power of God. Hallelujah. But there was a young boy in the midst of them. A young boy amidst all of them. The boy just stepped out. You know, he wasn't fascinated. Amen. And then he turned to him and said, in the name of Jesus, get down and never come back again. And that was the end. Hallelujah. Power past power. Praise God. So, astonishment. You just do things, you know, to what end are you levitating, floating on the air? To what end? Glory to God. Whose life will be changed after that? Nothing. It's just to astonish people who drink people, and it's for self-glorification. Glory be to God.
And you know, if we don't deal with that kind of stuff, it's a not natural thing for man. So if the believer does not deal with it, though you have the things of the Spirit, genuine things, you will still use them wrongly. Amen. And then, beyond that, you also now have strange and weird desires. That's the reason why a believer will be in this meeting now, and then as we say, let's begin to flow in Jesus' spirit, he's looking at how he wants to enter the world. Praise God. To what end? Why do you want to enter this world? Are there no doors? Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a weird desire. Because by the time you enter the world, do you think anybody's life here will be the same? Praise God. Hey, everybody is in awe. Hallelujah. That is the essence. Nothing more. It is not that your life will change. It is not that you receive a notification, but from that day, hey, you'll be like, hey, glory be to God. You know, the example of Philip always baffles me. Philip was taken away from where he was in Gaza, in a desert, right? And then he was led by the Spirit of God to leave, to go and minister to somebody. When he was done ministering, he was caught up by the Spirit to another place. The Bible says he was found where? In Azotus. Doing what? Preaching the gospel. Only God knows. After Azotus, only God knows where he went again. Praise God. Do you understand? The man was mission-minded, ministry. So, you don't say, because Philip levitated, or he was caught up by the Spirit, after this meeting tonight now, I'll be caught up by the Spirit. Praise God. For what reason? Hallelujah. So, many times, people feel that we are talking down on those things. We are not. It is just to understand the essence, the motive. Why do these things happen? Glory be to God. And I believe God that if God has an assignment for you in Kano tomorrow, wakes you up and says you are going to Kano and you don't know how to get there, you'll make a way by the Spirit. Hallelujah. You can be found. Those manifestations have not ended. Those kind of things, they've not ended. You can find yourself in a bush, lost. And then you find your way to the city, supernaturally. Glory be to God. You know, there's a need. There was no water in the valley, in the wilderness, and they needed water. And that was when Moses was told to do what? To strike the rock. So those things happen. So, but what is the essence? That men can receive what? Edification, that men can be helped. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. In sorcery, the signs and wonders are done in order to magnify self. And I'm going to show you tonight, that's the bane of this self-glorification in the body of Christ. Men have not renewed their minds from that thing. In sorcery, the signs and wonders are done in order to magnify self and without any desire to edify others. Without any desire to edify others. Weird things, strange things. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I heard of a man who, while he was preaching, he just dipped his hand in this atmosphere. Can you see anything? Amen. The atmosphere, like, can you see the atmosphere? Can you see the atmosphere. Something is around me right now. Praise God. Then I dip my hand in it and I bring out a cow or the head of a cow. Praise God. While preaching. Amen. Can it happen? Can it happen? Okay. I've heard of a story of a professor. Used to be one of our relatives. Distant relative. He was seated with people in his parlor. And one day, as he was there, people were talking, and he was talking about power. Suddenly, he just removed his head. And blood is dead now. And he was doing those things. He removed his head. He didn't die from that experience. And he put it back. Blood was gushing. And everybody ran, he put it back. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when I hear a pastor doing all those things, that's the person I remember. I don't think it's God's spirit. Amen. I just remember, Professor Manchekini, praise God. There was a time they said he became a lion. Oh, the manner of this. Glory be to God. So, the desire is not to edify others, it's self-glorification. Also, let's keep writing.
Also, the signs and wonders are not common to everyone. The signs and wonders are not common to everyone as opposed to what is found in Christ. And of course, that's the reason why people are going to be in awe of the man. They are going to look at him as a demigod in the midst of men. The signs and wonders are not common to men as opposed to what is found in Christ. Mark 16:15-20. John 14:12. Mark 16:15-20. John 14:12. You know, those scriptures make us realize that the signs and the wonders are common things for believers. Go into the word and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up any dead thing. It will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So it's a common thing. Verse 20. They all went everywhere preaching the word and God confirming his word with signs and wonders. John 14, 12. Bible says, he who believes in me, the very works that I do, right, shall he do also. But that's not what you find in sorcery or idolatry. It's one man showing men how powerful and how great he is. Amen. And everybody is depending on him. Now listen, that tradition is what you find in many denominations. And by this, I'm not saying they are not operating the power of God. Some of them, it's God's power. But they've not unlearned that mindset. They do not realize that the things of spirit are common to the whole church. Everybody in Christ has been baptized into one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. So, we are looking up to a man or two people in the church doing things. Amen. That's why somebody will come to the church with a rod. Hallelujah. You know, that's not diversity of spirit. That's not variety of operations. Praise God. Say, next year we'll come with something else. That's not the variety we are talking about. That's not the variety 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about. That's us standing in awe of one man. Hallelujah. So it's not different from Simon the Sorcerer. And you know what? It serves the same purpose. So what has happened? Everything the man says becomes a law. Hallelujah. Because of the move of God's power. Or any kind of power at all. Everything he says becomes law. Because men are bewitched. Glory to God. In an environment where doctrine is not extolled above power, people are bewitched. Whatever you say, you will just take it. Glory be to God. But do you know, it's not going to be a big deal. If I prophesy, you also prophesy. I speak in tongues, speak in tongues. I heal a sick person, you also lay hands to heal somebody. Do you know it's not going to be a big deal to receive everything I'm saying because of power? Because both of us have a mutual experience. Glory to God. But the reason why it's going to be a big deal is because I will feel that, you know, for walking in power and I'm not walking in it, I'll feel you have a special connection with God. Or a special relationship with God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's important. Let's keep writing. So that's not God's way. The things of spirit are common. Even under the Old Testament. Even under the Old Testament. Now we have to be very careful here. I have to listen. Even under the Old Testament, God's desire was to have all men to walk in the things of the spirit. Even under the Old Testament, God's desire was to have all men walk in the things of the Spirit. For instance, every man could prophesy based on their willingness. Every man could prophesy based on their willingness. And I'm going to explain willingness. Let's see Numbers 11:24-30. Numbers 11:24-30. Glory be to God. So it's not a New Testament thing alone. The idea of the trees of spirit becoming commonplace is God's plan, God's way of doing things. It has been his way. Such that even under the Old Testament, that was his desire for men. Hallelujah. So, by implication, what I'm saying is, it wasn't God's will that Moses was the only person in the midst of people doing things and they were looking at it. That wasn't God's will. I hope you know. It wasn't. So what brought about that categorization? We'll see. Numbers 11, verse 24, down to 30. And I'll read. Bible says, so Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But the two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad and the name of the second Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. You know, when I was reading this, I said, no wonder both of them stayed back. Their names sounded like Eldad, Medad. Praise God. And the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Verse 29. Can we all read together? Then Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were what? Prophets. And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Hallelujah. Oh, that all of God's people were what? Prophets. And that God would put his spirit upon them. This was the first time this was going to happen. They crossed the Red Sea. They came into the land of, into the wilderness of Sinai. They were walking. And then Moses was the only person doing this. Everything spiritual. Just Moses. At some point, Aaron, his rod, and all that. But then, this was the first time 70 men were going to share in that operation. They prophesied. The Spirit of God came upon them. And they began to prophesy. What do you think changed? Hallelujah. Because they dedicated 70 men, right? To serve alongside with Moses. And then Moses is saying, see, it's my desire that even all of God's spirit will be able to prophesy. Glory be to God. Now, the reason why I said it's not that God changed the New Testament and then now he wants everybody to have access to spiritual things. In the Old Testament, that was originally the plan too. The reason why I said that is because the children of Israel were the ones who by their own belief shut themselves out of those things. Amen. Do you know God dealt with Abraham personally, right? He dealt with Isaac on a personal note. He also dealt with Jacob the same way. Now, when he reached out to the children of Israel, he was going to have that kind of dealing with individuals. What exactly does it mean to have faith in God? What does it mean to have faith in God? Or let me say this. What is the consequence of having faith in God? Is there a dealing with God based on your faith? If you don't have faith in God, what does that do to you? It shall change you, right? So, all these guys who were persuaded, they were taught, they were preached at to receive the gospel, to receive the word of God, and they were refusing and they were walking in unbelief. What do you think happened to them? They were the ones that closed the door. Glory be to God. So, because, look at this now. Initially, God's plan was to have this entire nation as the nation of priests. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 to 6. Exodus 19, 5 to 6. Glory be to God. Exodus 19, 5 to 6. That was God's initial plan. Exodus 19, 5 to 6. Bible says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, or my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of what? A kingdom of what? And what? A holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. They were going to be to God a special treasure. A kingdom of what? Priest and a holy nation. Glory be to God. Do you know that a father in the house, for instance, was meant to be like the priest in the house in those days? Glory to God. And then everybody, so when he says you'll be priest, everybody could teach God's word. Everybody could, you know, Moses eventually gave them that instruction that they were all meant to teach their children and all that. So it was beyond what somebody was doing in a particular venue or tabernacle. Everybody had access to teach the oracles of God. Amen. So, but because of their own belief, they were the ones that shortchanged themselves. That's why
Look at this now.
Even for having kings, you know, they have to demand for a king. It wasn't God's plan that Israel will have kings, they will have all the, it was another plan because of their own belief. Glory to God.
Look at this. 1 Samuel 8, 1 to 10. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 10. Amen. 1 Samuel 8, 1 to 10.
So God had always wanted to relate with every man, always wanted every man to have his own dealings, experiences with him. It wasn't God that was shortchanging people, creating an outer court, inner court. That was not the plan. Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 10. Now it came to pass that Samuel was old, that he made his sons, or when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and said to him, "Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected who?" Who did they reject? "That I should not reign over them."
So because prior to that time, it was strictly theocratic. Amen. It was what? Theocratic. It was God giving instructions through prophets, leading the people, but now they are demanding for a king like every other nation.
Hallelujah. And then, of course, you read down, you know, God will have to show them the character of the kings that will come and lead over them. That was when Saul came and they began to suffer. Praise God. So look at this other place. We also find an example in the book of Luke. I've shown us this before.
Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. The man Simeon, that man was not a prophet. Amen. He had no special title. Bible just says he was what? A devout man. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. He was a devout man. To be devout means to be committed. He was a man who had reverence for God. Bible says the Spirit of God was upon him. Glory be to God. The Spirit of God was where? Upon him. So, that means every man in the Old Testament, every man that lived under the Old Testament, had the same privilege that all those guys in Hebrews 11 that they had. What was the difference? Hebrews 11, 1 to 6. So, it wasn't God that was pushing people away. It wasn't God that was limiting the number of people that would have His Spirit upon them. No. It was men who rejected God with their own belief.
Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 6. Hebrews 11, 1 to 6. Now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it, he being dead, speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Verse 6, let's read together.
But without faith, it is impossible to what? For he who comes to God must first, that he is and is a rewarder of those who...
The wood there, is it a blanket statement? Or let me say, a blanket invitation. The wood, is it a particular wood or anybody? Hallelujah. God is a rewarder of those who did it. Anybody that seeks Him. Amen. I mean, look at the New Testament. We find the example of a man named Cornelius. That is even in the New Testament. He was not a believer. But it was a man who was devout, feared God and all that. And see how, because of his commitment, because of his quest, his passion to know, see how it turned out eventually. Praise God. And look at Acts 17, look at what Paul said. Okay, before we leave Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. You know, the writer of Hebrews began by showing us how that these guys were in unbelief. Amen. They were in what? in unbelief. So it was not that God was frugal or stingy with his spirit. No. It was men who rejected God by their unbelief.
Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews makes us realize that these guys were in unbelief. Hebrews 3:7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your voice as in the rebellion, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years.
Imagine, they kept seeing signs and wonders and miracles, and they did not believe. Glory to God. You know, you say, maybe if men see signs and wonders, they'll believe. These ones, their own case, they saw signs and they saw everything and they did not believe. How can you be at the brink of a sea and then it just suddenly opens up? When a man stretched the rod, hallelujah, and you walk through it to the other side, hallelujah, to the other side, and then you get to a place and you say, this God, this Moses, we don't know what has happened to him. Make us gods to go before us. Those guys were really hardened. Amen. And at chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says, the same gospel that was preached to us was as well preached to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the problem was their unbelief. Amen. It was what? Unbelief. Hallelujah. So we see Simeon rather, how that he was not a prophet, he had no title, but the Spirit of God was upon him because he had a commitment, a devotion, a quest to know God.
At Acts 17, see how Paul says it. At Acts 17, glory be to God. Acts of Apostles 17. Are you in church? Acts 17.
So God is not far from men and he's not pushing men away.
At all. Right from the Old Testament. Acts 17. And I'll read from verse
22.
Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that not since you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should do what? So that they should do what? Are these believers? All men. So that they should seek him in hope that they might what? Grope for him and do what? What are they going to find? Hallelujah. If men seek him and grope for him, are they going to find him? Yes. He says, though he is not far from each one of us. And this is, listen, this shouldn't be very hard to understand. If Satan can reach out to men when they desire to know him, amen, how much more God? Do you know, nobody knows demons. Do you know any demon? But if you put a spoon in your room today and you start putting palm oil and you start worshipping it, you would get their attention. Hallelujah. And before you know it, you may turn out to be very powerful in the environment. Amen. So, or you put down a stone. So all those things that people started, it was not that they knew any demon anywhere. They just began to consecrate and devote, you know, attention to images, objects, and before they knew it, demons possessed those things and they began to manifest. So the same way God, that's what we find in the case of Cornelius. Hallelujah. So God is not shutting people away. The wrong approach or the wrong way to finding him is to go and put an object down and be saying, this is my God. This is what they were doing in Athens. Hallelujah. If they were just desiring to know God, then the answer to that desire would have been the man Paul. Amen. Who went there to preach the gospel. Do you know that when Paul and his company, when they were prevented from going to preach the word in Asia, Bible says Paul had a dream in the night. He had a night vision. A man in Macedonia was calling them. Amen. So, I mean, people could have desire to know God. And we've heard those kind of testimonies well.
I remember when I went to Ghana, a man said he was a Muslim. Because that was the man preaching in that particular conference. I was just passing by. I saw they were having a Christian conference. And I was new there, new in the land. So I just stepped in. So I had a great time. So I sat down. And he was an ex-Muslim. And he said he kept desiring to know the true God. That every day, at the mosque, he would go to the mosque and say, I want to know the true God. It's not about I must be a Muslim. If the true God is not in Islam, I want to know the true God. Praise God. So he said that was his prayer every time. He would go to mosque, that was his religion. He would go there and he would be praying, I want to know the true and only God. And then, he had been going to play football with his mates. Then, in the course of the weeks that followed, they went to play football again. And as he was playing, they played, they got tired. He got back to his room, he picked his bag, he got back to his room. And he was unloading his items. Then he stumbled on a Gideon's Bible. And then, oh, who put this here? Oh, very good. Let me even read this Bible now so I can have more things to say against Christians. So apparently somebody had dropped the Bible there in his bag for keeping. And then the person had forgotten it. So he began to read. So, you know, Gideon begins with Matthew. Hallelujah. So he just started with Matthew. Began to read the life of Jesus. He said, by the time he read till John, he just sat there and said, This must be the true God. Praise God. This guy is so good. He said he was overwhelmed by the personality of Christ. That if any man ever lived this way, and all these things he says, no one can come to the Father except through, he must be God. Glory be to God. I do not think that's a coincidence. That's an answer to a desire. Glory to God. Answer to a desire. And we've had different kinds of testimonies like that. People in strange lands who encounter the gospel. Miraculous. Because there was a quest. Glory to God. So, don't assume that God was not the one that created the system. Moses, you talk to me. You know, it was the children of Israel that even said, don't let God talk to us again. Do you remember? Let him talk to you. They come and talk to us. They didn't want to have anything to do with God. Hallelujah. And it was because they were in unbelief. Were they the only ones that heard the sound on the mountain? Wasn't Moses himself shaking? So why should you respond with, we don't want to hear again? Hallelujah. That was the problem. So their unbelief was what shut them out. God had been willing to, you know, relate and deal with all men on a personal basis. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So let's write it down. Let's write this down. So the idea of the Spirit being commonplace is not new. So the idea of the Spirit being commonplace is not new. It has always been God's way. It has always been God's way. The idea of the Spirit being commonplace is not new. It has always been God's way. So in Christ, we have a deeper and more glorious reality of the Spirit within us all. In Christ, we have a deeper and more glorious reality of God's Spirit within us all. In Christ, we have a glorious or a deeper and more glorious reality of the Spirit within us all. Hallelujah. You know why I said that? Because, of course, in the Old Testament, they were not operating in all the things of the Spirit. No particular individual had all of the Spirit. So they were influenced. They had a measure of the Spirit's influence. Men could prophesy. At other times, some could walk in power, you know, at other times. So nobody had the full measure. But in Christ, we have a reality. That's the only difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. But the idea of God wanting every man to experience His Spirit is not new. Amen. The only new thing is that for us, there's a deeper reality of the Spirit within us, by which we can walk in all the operations of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, let's keep writing. It's clear the reason this is so is because all who are in Christ have believed. It's clear. The reason this is so is because all who are in Christ have believed. You know, we saw out that what shut them out of these things in the Old Testament was what? Unbelief. So the reason why today also we all can walk with Jesus is because of what? Of our faith. All of those who are in Christ are believers. As God poured out His Spirit on all flesh, is all flesh working in it? Does everybody have the Spirit? No. What is the problem again? Unbelief. So those who have not believed do not have the Spirit, though the Spirit has been given. So those who are in Christ are believers. Glory to God. An unbeliever can never manifest the things of the Spirit in Christ. An unbeliever can never manifest the things of the Spirit in Christ. And I'm going to explain that. Because you may have examples coming to your mind, which is good. An unbeliever, oh. Like I said, a friend of mine said, from childhood, he's been walking in the gift of healings and working on miracles, and he was not born again. Amen. And then he says, if he comes out and he says, in the name of Jesus, stop! Raise stop! Sometimes you not even had the name of Jesus. Just, and then it will happen like that. Praise God. Of course, he said, amen. I never saw one. Because one time we were learning drums together here and it was raining and we had to go in the rain. But he cited an example. When he says, rain, stop, it will stop. But that day, maybe he didn't want to show himself. Praise God. But you know, that idea is false. You cannot be an unbeliever and be walking in the manifestation of the Spirit. From where? Hallelujah. So what happened to Cornelius? Acts of Apostles, chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Was that a manifestation of the Spirit? Acts 10, 1 to 3. Was it a manifestation of the Spirit? No. What about you? Was it a manifestation of the Spirit? Sarah? No. Was it a manifestation of the Spirit? Did he see a vision? Was that a manifestation of the Spirit? What kind of vision did... I think I just explained this recently. What kind of vision did he see? He saw an angel. Was that a vision like Peter saw vision? Huh? If an angel walks into this place now, physically, can an unbeliever see the angel? Yes. Is that the manifestation of the Spirit? No. Glory to God. If I see a vision that nobody else is seeing, I'm the only one, I can see the best, I can see something. That's a vision coming from within me. Amen. By the Spirit of God. But if an angel of God walks into this place and all of us can see him, for instance, when Paul heard Jesus, you know, Paul saw Jesus. Jesus appeared to him. That experience, those who were with him also heard a voice. Is that the manifestation of the Spirit? No way. Hallelujah. Because that did not come from within them. It came from outside. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. So unbelievers can have spiritual experiences, encounters that are legitimate. That is, they are of God. But that does not make those experiences manifestation of the Spirit. You don't say, that man, he also sees visions. No. The reality of seeing visions is in all, I'll pour my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your men shall see visions. So until you have the Spirit of God within you, you cannot see visions. Amen. But you can see an angel can appear to you, that is not vision. Amen. So when he says he saw in a vision, he says the word vision there means an open vision. Something that was so clear. It was not that he was dreaming. Somebody entered the room like you would have entered the room. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know when Peter was released by an angel, the Bible says he thought he was seeing what? He thought he was seeing a vision because it was not a vision. That was an angel that entered physically. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this other one. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. Luke 2, 8 to 14.
Glory to God. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying. Did you see heavenly host again? Remember we studied heavenly host, host of heaven. So this is used now for angels. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill on earth towards men. So these guys also had a supernatural experience. They saw angels and they saw a multitude, the host of heaven, praising God. That is not manifestation of the spirit. Just a spiritual encounter. Men can also see visions, can also have dreams from God. That is, God can instruct a man that is not born again in a dream. Do you agree with this? Your young men shall dream dreams. However, God can speak to a man in a dream and he's not saved. Glory to God. Joseph, Abby. Well, we can say Joseph had a link with God. Huh? Joseph, the father of Jesus, and he was a just man. Hallelujah. But do you get what I'm saying? Because he was a just man. Even Joseph in Old Testament, before Old Testament, said that guy had a walk with God and all that. What about Pharaoh? Hallelujah. Do you know what Pharaoh saw was divine? He saw that there was going to be famine. Joseph had to interpret the dream. Glory be to God. What about Nebuchadnezzar? Eh? Nebuchadnezzar. What about what he saw? What about, look at Matthew chapter 2. The three wise men. Are they three? Hallelujah. Silver, gold, and frankincense. The gifts were three. Praise God. The wise men. We don't know the number. But for a long time, we had three wise men. Praise God. Matthew chapter 2. That's not one of the things to fight over. Amen. You like say 10 or 3. Matthew 2, from verse 11 to 12. Praise God. Matthew 2, 11 to 12. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream, hallelujah, that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Who warned them in the dream? Who warned them in the dream? Was it God? Or an angel of God? Was it God? Or an angel of God? Oh, joy. Praise God. Whether it was an angel of God or God, they were warned of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know something interesting about these guys? Look at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born of the king of the Jews? For we have seen what? His star. Where? In the east, and have come to worship him." Do you know the meaning of wise men? That's the Greek word, magos. M-A-G-O-S. What does it mean? Sorcerers. Hallelujah. Magicians. That's right. Wise men. And this is so important. It will further corroborate what we've been saying about, you know, things of spirit. So, the phrase wise men is from the Greek word magos. M-A-G-O-S. The phrase wise men is from the Greek word magos, which means magician. Magician, oriental scientist, astrologer, or sorcerer. Praise God. Sorcerer. Isn't it interesting? That they knew Jesus had been born just by reading the stars. Isn't it interesting
that they knew Jesus had been born just by reading the stars. Hallelujah. This is yet another evidence. This is yet another evidence that men can explore other means and still have results. This is yet another evidence that men can explore other means and still have results. Glory to God. What I'm about to say now, you must bind it on your heart. The end does not justify the means. It is the means that justifies the end concerning spirituals in Christ. The end does not justify the means. You say, well, they looked at the star. Did they find out that Jesus was born? Yes. It's good now. No. The end does not justify the means. It does not change the fact that they use sorcery. And God is against sorcery. Hallelujah. It is not going to cancel the fact that they used magic and reading of stars. The end does not justify the means. Don't say, but the man got healed now. Maybe it's a miracle. No. The end does not justify the means. It is the means that justifies the end concerning spirituals in Christ. Hallelujah. So, how did we get there? That God can instruct men in a dream without them being born again. Glory to God. Do you know that in some of those denominations that we grew up in, young children, I mean, age 2, age 3, age 4 or something, they will just start manifesting things, have dreams, accurate dreams and all that, and then they will just deify the person in the church. In fact, where I grew up in, they used to call some people dreamers. Glory to God. And some of them, in fact, not some of them, many of them were not born again. But they were having accurate dreams. How many of you remember the case of Pilate and his wife? When Pilate was sitting in judgment over Jesus, and the wife came and said, I had dreams. That man is a just man. Glory to God. Pilate and his wife are not born again people. But the wife had a dream about Jesus, and he was right. Amen. He got it right. That Jesus is a just man. So, it would be wrong to say, it's not God that spoke to that girl because he's not born again. It could be God. But what we're saying is that is not a manifestation of spirit. So such a person does not join us in the meeting and we're expecting prophecy, speaking in tongues. No. Glory to God. I heard something very silly during the week that a certain person would speak to everybody in the office and say, even a Muslim, and say, you can pray in tongues. You can do it. It's in you. Praise God. Pick me, it's in you. What is in you? How can it be in you? Amen. The way to be in you is that you must first receive Jesus as Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Back to 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for what? For the profit of all. Glory to God. For those just coming, you do good to get a notepad and a biro. So you can write. Ushers, go around, just give a notepad and a Bible so you can write, because there were times when we're dictating and you have to write. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for what? The profit of all. Glory to God. So, that's right. We all have the manifestation of the Spirit. We all have the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. We all have the manifestation of the Spirit. And when we say we all, we are talking about believers. That is the signature for spirituals in Christ. It's a commonplace. That is the signature for spirituals in Christ. We all have the manifestation of the Spirit. That is the signature for spirituals in Christ. We've seen that the word manifestation is the word phanerosis. The word manifestation is the word phanerosis. Phanerosis is spelled P-H-A-N-E-R-O-S-I-S. We've seen that the word manifestation is the word phanerosis, which also means exhibition.
He also means expression. You know, many times we say, let's give expression to the Holy Ghost. Let's give expression to Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. That is the manifestation. It's an exhibition. It's an expression. Giving expression to that which is within you. Glory to God. It also means endowment. Exhibition, expression, endowment. Hallelujah. We're still writing. This means a man cannot be said to have the manifestation of the Spirit without an outward evidence. This means a man cannot be said to have the manifestation of the Spirit without an outward evidence. Glory to God. This means a man cannot be said to have the manifestation of the Spirit without what? An outward evidence. So you know, last week I said, do you have a word of knowledge? Glory to God. What exactly has the Holy Ghost given you? Or what has God given you in Christ? Is it the Holy Ghost or God has given you prophecy? The Holy Ghost. So do you have prophecy? No, he says, I have prophecy. Then I said, come and give us. Amen. The manifestation of the Spirit is what? Prophecy, right? The manifestation of the Spirit is word of knowledge. Until you have a word of knowledge, you cannot say you have the manifestation of the Spirit called word of knowledge. What you have is the Spirit. Glory to God. So listen, a man can say, I don't have gift of word of knowledge. I don't have prophecy. I don't have, that's not what I have. I have the Spirit. But then, Pastor, it's the same now. I have the ability to give word of knowledge. What is that ability to give word of knowledge? The Spirit. Hallelujah. So it is not mere semantics. It has to be understood. What God has given you is not tongues. Or he has given you interpretation of tongues and he has given somebody prophecy. What God gave is the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, let's keep writing. The manifestation of the Spirit is not the Spirit within you. The manifestation of the Spirit is not the Spirit within you. It is the Spirit expressed through you. The manifestation of the Spirit is not the Spirit within you. It is the Spirit expressed through you. Hallelujah. What happened at salvation was the receiving of the Spirit, not the manifestation of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why I'm explaining this. Because people have said manifestation, you know, another word for manifestation is bestowing. So people have said at salvation, we receive manifestation of the Spirit. God has bestowed it on us and all that. No, what happened at salvation is receiving the Holy Ghost, not manifesting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Or not the manifestation of the Spirit. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. John 14, 16, 17. John 14, 16, 17 and 23. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you did not receive the manifestation of the Spirit at salvation. You received the Spirit. And what did the Spirit accomplish in you? Salvation. Amen. So, in the manifestation of the Spirit, you are given something for the profit of others. John 14, 16, 17. And 23. Are you in church? John 14, 16, 17, and 23. And I'm going to read. Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you for how long? How long does the Spirit abide? Forever. Hallelujah. Who does the praying to the Father? Jesus. Are you to pray to God to receive the Spirit? So Jesus says, I will pray the Father. And the prayer is about his work. Amen. His sacrifice. So, he'll give you the Spirit, to another helper to abide with you forever. Who is that helper? Verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? Will be in you. Verse 23. Hallelujah.
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Keep my word means we will believe the gospel. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So there's the reality of the indwelling spirit that came to be at salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 38. This is very key. So at salvation, you receive the Holy Ghost. It is not an outward thing. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows there's a difference. It's an inward transformation and change. That's receiving the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not the gifts. Right? A singular gift called the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Acts 2:38. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Romans 8, 9. Glory to God. Romans 8, 9. I says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. The spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells where? In you. The spirit of God is in you. Romans 8, 15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So the spirit is within us. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That is, he has the same spirit, the same nature. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Glory to God. Galatians 4:4. Hallelujah. What does Galatians 4:6? What does it say? And because you are sons, God has what? God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, because you are what? Sons. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13-14. So all we are reading about now is about salvation, right? The indwelling spirit, which gives you the capacity to have the manifestation of the spirit. Amen. Ephesians 1:13-14. Glory to God. Abba says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? Of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So he says we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 2:21-22. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we are the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. God is here. And when we say God is here, we're not talking about this room. We're talking about us. Hallelujah. God is within us. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 1:14. God is within us by his spirit. And this is what makes it possible for God to walk through us by his spirit. 2 Timothy 1:14. 2 Timothy 1:14. Bible says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Where is the Holy Ghost? Where is the Holy Ghost? In us. Hallelujah. Look at this last one. 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3:24. For some, the only place they know in the entire book of 1 John is he that is born of God cannot sin. 1 John chapter 3. They don't know why that was even said. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by what? By the Spirit whom he has given us. So God abides in us by his Spirit. Glory to God. So let's write. So at salvation, we received the Spirit. At salvation, we received the Spirit. At salvation, we received the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is what is described as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is what is described as the gift of the Spirit. Glory be to God. At salvation we receive what? The Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is what is described as the gift of the Spirit. Amen. So tonight, do we have the Spirit? Do we have the manifestation of the Spirit as I'm talking? No. Do we have the gift of the Spirit in operation right now? No. Amen. When we start flowing in tears of the Spirit, do we have the gift of the Spirit in operation then? Yes. But we have the Spirit now. And the Spirit within us now is something we cannot see. Glory to God. So manifestation is an exhibition, an outward evidence. So the manifestation is what we will now start seeing. But the Spirit is within you. Glory to God. So let's write. So technically, they are not your gifts. Technically, they are not your gifts. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we're going to look at this more carefully. Technically, they are not your gifts. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. What we have is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Technically, they are not your gifts. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. What we have is the Spirit. Amen. You know, listen, let me quickly say this. If they are my gifts, then that means I determine when to use them. Glory to God. I determine when. If we say something is your gift, you can choose to just start doing it. But if it is not my gift, but the gift of the Holy Spirit, then who is the custodian of it? The Spirit. Who determines its use? The Spirit. Who determines the when? The Spirit. Hallelujah. Who determines the how? The Spirit. You know, that's what we read at 1 Corinthians 12, 3, 4, and 5. No, sorry. 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 5, and 6. Amen. The diversities, the differences, and the diversities of operations, it's by the Spirit. Amen. So technically, they are not your gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. What we have is the Spirit. The idea of having gifts is Old Testament doctrine. The idea of having gifts is Old Testament doctrine. Prophets could not function beyond what God called them to do in their own generation. Prophets could not function beyond what God called them to do in their own generation. Hallelujah. I know I've explained this earlier because they didn't have the Spirit within them. So what happened was that God will call a man and say, you're going to be a king, right? And then call a man and say, you'll be a prophet and a priest. That man cannot function beyond that capacity. If a man is called to prophesy, that is all his ministry will be about. Amen. That's the measure that God chooses a man for a task. So all through his life, that's why Isaiah will not heal or part the Red Sea or anything. All he had to do was what? Prophesy. But when he called Moses, he told him, I'll be with you, and he gave him signs, and he told him what he was going to do. You know, prior to the time when he called Moses, he had told Abraham that his descendants would be in bondage to a particular nation, and he was going to judge that nation. Bible refers to Moses as a deliverer. Do you remember? Bible says God ordained him to be a deliverer by the hand of an angel. So his ministry demanded that there must be some show of power. So it wasn't Moses that wanted to work in those things. That was what his call and his office and his role required. Glory to God. So we can say that that man had a dimension of God's power, and then he also gave prophecies, you know. So, but he was functioning within the limits of God's operation through him. Amen. So that's what we call measure. Hallelujah. Measure. So they had a measure of the Spirit. That's right. They had a measure of the Spirit. They had a measure of the Spirit. That is the influence of the Spirit. But the Spirit is given to and in Christ without measure. The Spirit is given to and in Christ without measure. To and in Christ. Because it is not just given to Christ. Even in Christ, everybody that comes into Christ receives the Spirit without measure. It is a careless addition by the KJV. When you read John chapter 3, for instance, a careless addition, because it could mislead. Says God does not give his Spirit unto him without measure. Unto him will seem as though it is just the person of Christ. But in Christ, God does not give his Spirit by measure. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 34. God does not give his Spirit by measure. So you find unto him in italics, because it's not there. God does not give his Spirit by measure. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Turn your Bibles there. Colossians 2, 9 to 10. What does it say? Colossians 2, 9 to 10. Are you there? Let's all read together. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Who is the head of us? Is Jesus complete? Are you complete in him? Does Jesus have a fullness? Do you have a fullness? John 1:16. Of his fullness we have all received. Hallelujah. So Jesus does not have the Spirit by measure. The believer also does not have the Spirit by what? By measure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. So in the New Testament, we don't teach you have some measure of the Spirit or some gifts. No. That's not what we teach. We teach that a man has the Spirit of God. And by the Spirit of God, it can flow in everything that God wants him to do. Amen. So let's see. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, let's read together. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is the body, the fullness of him who does what? Who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll read from verse 16. Let me start from verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So what the believer has is all of God's Spirit. Amen. That is the reason why he can walk in all of the things of the Spirit. He has all. He has a sufficiency. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's write. Jesus embodies the fullness of God. Jesus embodies the fullness of God. Jesus embodies the fullness of God. And we have been made partakers of the same. Jesus embodies the fullness of God. And we have been made partakers of the same. So, God didn't give you one or two gifts. He gave you all of his Spirit. Jesus embodies the fullness of God, and we have been made partakers of the same. So, God didn't give you one or two gifts. He gave you all of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Write this down, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. Joel 2, 28 to 29. You know what's there? In the last days, I'll pour my Spirit on all flesh. I'll do what? I'll pour out. That is referenced also at Acts of Apostles 2, 17 to 18. I'll pour out my spirit. Amen. The phrase pour out means to bestow. The phrase pour out means to bestow or distribute largely or to empty. The phrase pour out means to bestow or to distribute largely or to empty. Hallelujah. To empty. So God didn't withhold any portion. He gave all. So God didn't withhold any portion. He gave all. I'm still writing. God didn't withhold any portion. He gave all. So I want to give you the logic behind this. Since the believer is expected to do the works of Jesus and to live like him, since the believer is expected to do the works of Jesus, we're right, and to live like him, since the believer is expected to do the works of Jesus and to live like him, he must have the same spirit and power. He must have the same spirit and power. Hallelujah. Hope you got that. That is, if Jesus says he will believe in me, the very works that I do shall he do also. He must be of the same power. Hallelujah. If we are expected to live like Jesus and to walk like Jesus and to do his works, we must have his kind of power and spirit. Look at John 20, 21 to 22. John 20, 21 to 22. After this, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, so I also what? Send you the same way. Hallelujah. In the same manner. The same way the Father has sent me, so I also send you. And when he has said this, he prayed on them and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. That is because I'm giving you the same assignment. Receive the same empowerment. Hallelujah. Earlier in the ministry, he had said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. So he's now sending us to also do what? To preach the gospel. So he says, you also receive the same Spirit. Glory to God. Let's write. This is why it is called the Spirit of his Son. This is why it is called the Spirit of his Son. It is the same kind of Spirit. The same measure. This is why it is called the Spirit of his Son. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:6, Spirit of his Son. Also, the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9. This is why it is called the Spirit of his Son. Galatians 4:6. Also, the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9. It's the same kind of Spirit that worked in Christ. It is the same kind of Spirit that worked in Christ. It's the same kind of Spirit that worked where? In Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 10 to 11. Romans 8, 10 to 11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. So, listen. The Spirit of God within us is also referred to as Christ being in us, right? So, God's Spirit in us is who? Christ in us. So, what does it mean when we say the Spirit is working through us? Is that not the person of Christ finding expression through us? So, if I say God can, Jesus can through you enable you to give prophecy. But, you know, in that person, you cannot prophesy. What are we saying? Will the problem be the man? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me give you an example. If I give you a pistol gun, and I give you a pistol gun, and we load everything, everything is full, bullets, and you try to shoot, and it's not working, and you try to shoot, and then it works. Who are we going to say is responsible for the problem? The users, right? So that means if a believer is not walking in any of the gifts of the Spirit, the problem is not with the person of Christ. It's not with the Spirit within him. it is based on the person's lack of yieldedness. Amen. Because Jesus cannot be finding expression through this guy and then be limited in you. Did you get that? The Spirit of God is Christ in us. So Christ can walk through you, right? And he can walk through you. If we look at your life and we don't see Christ walking through you, who is the problem? What's the problem? The man. Because it is the same capacity, the same Christ, the same Spirit. Hallelujah. So that's why there were no categorizations. Don't forget, it was Paul that began to teach word of knowledge and all these things like this extensively. Don't forget that when Jesus spoke about these things, he just says, he that believes. Hallelujah. He that believes. It doesn't say some will walk in tongues, some will walk in casting out demons. Every believer has what it takes. Because it is the same Spirit. Hallelujah. And it is the same Christ. Glory to God. Don't forget. So back to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 8. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 8. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 8. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Praise God. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And you know, last week I explained that when he says to one, to another, it does not mean he's talking about two different people. Because if you look at the operations of those gifts, some of those gifts will need, you will need to work in two or three of those gifts at the same time. For instance, the man that prays in tongues or speaks in tongues is required to also what? Interpret. The man that gives word of knowledge sometimes would also have to flow in word of wisdom. I could call a case, and then by the time I mention the case, I receive a word of wisdom concerning how the person is meant to undo it. Amen. So it cannot be give to this one tongues, give to this one interpretation, give to this one prophecy. Amen. Also look at the power gift. Gift of faith, gift of healings, and working of miracles. They work together. The man that will walk in the gift of healing will have to walk in the gift of faith. Because it takes that faith to walk in healing power and all those. So, it is not to one to another as per giving to different people. It's just a manner of speaking. Hallelujah. And we saw an example in, you know, in the account of the man that said, I'm a man under authority, I can say to one, go, to another, come. It doesn't mean what, there's a person that always comes, there's one that always goes. It's just a manner of speaking. Praise God. So, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The word given is the Greek word didomi. That word given. The word given is the Greek word didomi. Or didomi. D-I-D-O-M-I. D-I-D-O-M-I. I want to find out, what does it mean when he says he has given it? Do I have it and I can use it anytime? Or, I'm giving at the time of need? Let's find out. The word given is the Greek word didomi, or didomi, D-I-D-O-M-I, which most times describes what has been committed to your trust. Which most times describes what has been committed to your trust. That is given as used at 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. The manifestation of faith is given. One is given word of wisdom. That giving is didomi. It means it describes what has been committed to your trust most times, or handed over to you. Or handed over to you. Hallelujah. But it's also used for what's given to you when it's needed. It's also used for what is given to you when it is needed. So when it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to you, it is not always about the fact that he has given you, use it anytime. It can be given to you at the time when you need it. Amen. That's the deal. Let's keep writing. A careless reading of this text, praise God, may lead the reader to assume
that Paul is saying the believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit at salvation. A careless reading of this text may lead the reader to assume that Paul is saying the believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit at salvation. A careless reading of this text may lead the reader to assume that Paul is saying the believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit at salvation. Are we all there? Are you all? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, but the overall context of Paul's discourse from chapter 12 to 14, but the overall context of Paul's discourse from chapter 12 to 14 shows he was speaking about what happens in the gathering of the saints. The overall context of Paul's discourse from chapter 12 to 14 shows he was speaking about what happens in the gathering of the saints.
Hallelujah.
He was speaking about what happens where? In the gathering of the saints. So I don't say manifestation of spirit. The day you got saved, you received manifestation of spirit. No. The day you got saved, what did you receive? The Spirit. So Paul is talking about the gathering of the saints. Let's survey 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at chapter verse 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 5. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, right? But he who prophesies edifies who? The church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive what? So, is he talking about ministry to others? That's the focus. Hallelujah. So, at the time when a man prophesies to the church, what did he receive? The manifestation of what? The Spirit. And he receives it for who? The church. Praise God. Look at verses 6 to 11. Verses 6 to 11. It's in the context of the gathering. 1 Corinthians 14, 6 to 11. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, so who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue, what is it to understand? How will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So you see, he's showing the importance of interpreting tongues. Right? For the sake of edification. Is that in a gathering? If you were praying in your room, would it be necessary for you to interpret your tongues? No. If you reach out to a person in the church and you hold hands with the person and you begin to talk in tongues, do you need to interpret? Yes. So that the person will receive what? Edification. Look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. Let's read together. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spirituals, let it be for what? The edification of the church that you seek to exert. So you see, the discussion is in the context of what? The gathering. Amen. So where does a man receive the manifestation of the Spirit? In the gathering. Right? Now listen, it can be a formal church setting. Sometimes it may not be a formal church setting. It may not be a formal gathering. But anytime a man receives the manifestation of the Spirit, it must be in the context of him ministering to others. Did you get that?
There must be somebody to receive the ministry. You can't say, I have manifestation of spirit, and then you say, what did you have? Say, I just received for myself. Praise God. I just received for myself and all that. Now, in receiving for yourself, what do you mean? It can't be that you were just praying in tongues. Amen. It will mean that you, for instance, you could receive a sound, right? And then you are edified. But the point is, at the point of receiving manifestation of spirit, there must be edification. Amen. So it is not a dormant thing in you, the gift of the Spirit of God within you. The manifestation is a time when men receive edification. Amen. Now, in the context of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, it is even in the gathering of the saints, in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, listen. I'm going to do something about tongues tonight. And I want you to pay good attention. Now let's see verse 13 also. 13. Therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. We saw this last week. When he says pray that he may interpret, it is not that when you pray in tongues, you now start praying, God, please, let me interpret. The word that means to the intent that, or in order that. Let him pray in order that he may interpret. And I showed you the reason why he said this is because of what he was saying. I should not come to a man speaking in tongues without interpreting. So, if I come to you, I should pray in tongues with the intent of what? Interpreting. Amen. So, again, it is clear that it's in the context of ministering to somebody else. Amen. Look at verse 26. Oh, sorry. Let's look at verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church, right? In the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. In the what? In the church. You see that the focus of Paul's discourse is the gathering. That is where Paul is teaching that is the context of Paul's teaching on the manifestation of the Spirit, giving for the profit of how many? Of all. Praise God. Now, look at verse 26, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for what? Let all things be done for what? For edification. Praise God. Edification. So let's write. So, when Paul says the manifestation of the Spirit is given, so when Paul says the manifestation of the Spirit is given, when Paul says the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all, when Paul says the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all, he was referring to the hour of ministering to another. He was referring to the hour of ministering to another. That is, when is that manifestation given? It is when you need to do what? To minister to somebody else. Amen. That is when it is given. You don't say, at salvation I received it, I can now use it anyhow. No. It is given you at the time when you need to minister to somebody else. Amen. Are you following? It doesn't have to be a formal church setting. It doesn't have to be a formal church setting. It doesn't have to be a formal church setting. But whenever the manifestation of the Spirit is given, it is for the sake of edifying someone. It doesn't have to be a formal church setting. But whenever the manifestation of the Spirit is given, it is for the sake of edifying someone. It is for the sake of edifying someone. We are still writing. It is for the sake of edifying someone. This same word is the same word used, or let's say this word is the same word used at Matthew 10:19. Matthew 10:19. We're going to read from verse 18 down to 20. There's a reason why I want us to check this. Because it describes how the Spirit of God can walk through a man for a particular purpose to meet a particular need at a particular time. The same word is used in Matthew 10:19. Manifestation is given does not mean you received it, you now start using it. It means it's given you now for the sake of somebody else. Amen. So that hour of need is the time when it is given. Matthew 10:19. Then I said that we're going to read from verse 18 for context sake, 18 to 20. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be what? Given to you in that hour what you should speak. Verse 20, let's read together. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, does that mean the man is
not talking?
The man is the one doing the talking. But the content is given by what? By the Spirit. So it's when they bring you before kings. So some of those, the way the apostles responded to those guys in Book of Acts, I mean, you know, when they perceived, they must have been with Jesus. The way they responded, judge for yourself. Should we obey you or obey God? Men that were, on a normal day, they were meant to be running away. Hallelujah. They were emboldened by the Spirit of God. And then Jesus said to them, he says, at that hour, it is not you. It is the Spirit. He says, what you will say will be given you in that hour. That's exactly what the manifestation of the Spirit is about. At the time of need, it is supplied. Amen. Are you here? At the time of need, it is supplied. So let's write. So, it is not based on the will of man. It is not based on the will of the man. So it is not based on the will of the man. He only responds to what the Spirit gives in that hour. It is not based on the will of the man. He only responds to what the Spirit gives in that hour. Praise God. He only responds to what the Spirit gives in that hour. Amen. Now, before I dictate, let me briefly say this. The confusion, the confusion of do the things of the Spirit at will is from speaking in tongues. So I say, let's just talk in tongues. So we all begin to talk in tongues. And we say, the same way I just said talk in tongues, I can also say to you, prophesy. Hallelujah. You know, it sounds sensible. Like, you can talk in tongues at will, can't you? So, what is stopping you from also seeing a vision at will or giving prophecy at will? Get this. What I'm about to say is very technical, but very simple. Amen. It is not as technical. What makes it technical? You know what Peter said about Paul's letters? He says they are hard to understand because of the people. So, it may be very technical because of the things you've heard. But, let me say it. The manifestation of Spirit called tongues is not the same as praying in the Spirit. And I'm going to explain. When, for instance, I could be in a gathering like this, and I'm led to go and pray with somebody in tongues. And I begin to pray in tongues. That manifestation of Spirit must be accompanied by what? Interpretation. Do I initiate that every time or anytime? No. Can I pray to God anytime? Yes. Do I have to interpret every time I pray? No. But when I want to minister to somebody by tongues, I must do what? Interpret. It is the same with the manifestation of Spirit, gift of healings or working of miracles. A man can approach me and say, I need prayer. I'm sick in my body. And I lay hands by my authority in Christ. But the manifestation of the Spirit, which is gift of healings or working of miracles, is not like that. Hallelujah. That one is not based on somebody saying, pray for me. Or I want to use believers' authority. At all. It is a move of the Spirit. Glory to God. So, they are not the same things. You can just pray in tongues. No, I cannot just initiate going to meet you now and talk in tongues and interpret. I have to be led to do that. Glory to God. But when it comes to praying to God, I mean, there's even instruction in scriptures. Praying always. Hallelujah. There's instruction, Jude 20. Praying, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the spirit. You know, there's also instruction to lay hands on the sick. And we can do it at will. But do you know there's such a thing as also flowing in the manifestation of spirit called healing and working of miracles? Where Jesus will go by the poolside and heal one person. Many people were sick, and he got one person healed and he left. In fact, let me show you what Jesus did there. John chapter 5. So that one, you don't initiate it. That's the manifestation and a move of the spirit. John chapter 5. See what Jesus did there. He did something and then he now said something to that effect. Praise God. John chapter 5. So you see Paul say, to one is given different kinds of tongues and interpretations. When he says to one, he's talking about the manifestation of spirit. That particular tongues must come with interpretation of tongues. That is not the same as me just praying to God. Hallelujah. And I don't initiate that. John chapter 5. Glory be to God. John chapter 5. And I'll read from verse 1. John 5 from verse 1. Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, a great multitude of what? Do you know the meaning of multitude? They are now sick. Hallelujah. Multitude of them by the poolside. And what happened? Sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise up your bed and walk. Do you know what? The idea is that particular pool, they know that there used to be a moving of the water by a certain angel. Now, it's survival of the fittest. So that's why people have to be there. So this man said his predicament has been that every time he wants to step in, somebody else will, you know, get in there before him. So there are lots of people there. And then Jesus got there, had a conversation with this man. Now look at verse 6. He says he's been there for a long time. He now said to him, do you want to be made well? Verse 7. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Verse 16. Listen carefully. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, My father has been what? Working until now, and I have been working. Glory to God. My father has been working, and I have been what? Working. Now look at verse 20. Hallelujah. Sorry, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than this, that you may marvel. So how did Jesus know what to do at that point? Huh? The Father has been working and I'm that Jesus is saying, I'm responding to what God will do. Praise God. So there's a difference in trying to, you know, men coming to you to say, please heal me. You know, many times Jesus will say, be unto you according to your words, according to your faith. People will come and say, please, you know, it's so amazing. Jesus was going and somebody came behind and touched his garment and she got healed of an infirmity. The flow of blood, issue of blood. And there was another man who had told Jesus, follow me to my house to come and lay your hands on my child. And Jesus still followed him. Amen. Jesus didn't say, look at what happened here. You too, you cannot believe in it. Praise God. You too, just, no, followed him and laid hands. Another man came and said, just speak a word. And he spoke a word. Amen. So, according to your faith, one time, two blind men came to meet Jesus. And they're standing before him, blind. He said, what do you want me to do? Praise God. That we may recover our sight. It may be money you want. Praise God. And then he laid hands on them and they recovered. Hallelujah. But in this particular scenario, Jesus was not waiting for anybody to come and meet him. In fact, there was no preaching. Amen. Trying to build up faith in the person. He just, by the Spirit of God, knew that this man had a desire to be healed. And then he went there. He got him healed and he left. You know, people have said many times that the man at the beautiful gate, for instance, asked for, Bible says they laid him there daily. And Jesus had been passing by that place. Most likely, the man was there. Amen. Because that was not long after Jesus had ascended. And then Peter ministered to him. You know something about that particular event? What happened there also doesn't just look like using believers' authority. And I will explain to you. Look at Acts 3. We consider it carefully. You go back home, you think on it. It doesn't just look like believers' authority. It felt like Peter had a certain knowing. An awareness, there was the gift of faith in operation to make the man whole. So look at Acts 3. Look at what look at what he said concerning that healing. Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Hallelujah. Look at what Peter said. Acts chapter 3. Glory be to God. Acts 3, and I'll read from verse 16. It says, and his name, true faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness. In the presence of you all. The faith which comes through Jesus. Right? That faith that came through Jesus. Is it faith for healing? Amen. The faith that we received when we got born again. Is that faith for healing? Faith for what? Salvation. But can we heal? Can we heal the sick now that we are believed? But you know, Paul now shows us. You know, it's only in Paul's letters. We know that there's the working of the gift of faith. There's the gift of faith. So, this particular faith, what exactly was it? Go and investigate. Praise God. Is it just believers' authority or the man? You know, because the man was not looking for healing. That's why I believe it is not just believers' authority. Because in this case, the man was not asking for healing. Hallelujah. He expected money. And they said, silver and gold we have not. What we have to give. In the name, they didn't even have any dialogue. In the name of, and they got him. And they, you know, held him by the hand and raised him up. Glory be to God. So we have to really consider that. So the truth is, the manifestation of spirit is not something that you just orchestrate or initiate. It is given you in the hour of need. Hallelujah. It's given you when? In the hour of need. We'll come back to all these things that I spoke about today. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, how that there's a difference between tongues for ministry to others and tongues as just talking to the Father. Amen. So, in the manifestation of the Spirit, I'm only to respond to the Spirit's will. Let's investigate some things. 1 Corinthians 14:30. As I begin to close. 1 Corinthians 14:30. Because, see, we must settle this one well before we proceed. How a are the things of the Spirit ministered? Or how is the manifestation of Spirit working? How does it work, rather? Is it by my will or according as I'm led by the Spirit? We have to settle it. 1 Corinthians 14:30. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. 1 Corinthians 14:30. What is the context? Amen. The context, you know, is about prophecy. So let's see. 1 Corinthians 14:29-31. 1 Corinthians 14:29-31. Are you in church? Bible says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all do what? Prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So the man that prophesies, wait till something is what? Revealed. Verse 30. That word revealed is the Greek word apokalypto. What does it mean? It means to uncover something, to make known what was hidden. So the question is this. When we say something was revealed to you, who revealed it to you? Was it yourself? Hallelujah. So if I have to wait for something to be revealed to me, it's already clear I am not the one initiating the prophecy. Amen. Apokalupto. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-T-O. It means to receive information about something. To uncover something. Everywhere this word is used, it is not the person that does the revealing. It is a recipient of the revelation. Amen. Glory to God. Also, when you look at tongues and interpretation, the way they operate, you discover that it can't be you initiating anything, because when I pray in tongues, do I understand what I'm saying? No. So in interpretation of tongues, what happens? The meaning of what I'm saying comes to me. I'm not the one to initiate. Since I don't even understand the tongues, I must rely on the Holy Ghost for the meaning. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Also in the book of Acts. We clearly see that the Spirit is actively the one initiating manifestations. The Spirit is actively doing things. Amen. Acts of Apostles 8:29. He said to Philip, go and overtake that chariot. There's such a thing as the Spirit saying to you. Amen. So note those scriptures. Acts 8:29. He says to Philip, go and overtake the chariot. Acts 10:19. He said to Peter, go with those men, doubting nothing. Acts 10:19. You remember that? What happened in there? Peter had just seen a vision, right? Was Peter planning to see a vision? What happened to Peter? He was hungry. He went to pray. And Bible says, while he waited for food, he fell into a trance. Did that manifestation come to him? Or he was seeking it? Was he ready for anybody? Did he know Cornelius? It was given him. Why? An angel of the Lord had instructed Cornelius to send for Peter. Peter was not going to go. I'm trying to explain why. Because if he was a fellow Jew, there would have been no need for that instruction. Peter was going to be required to follow them to meet a Gentile. According to the custom of the Jews, Jews were forbidden to company with Gentiles. So that instruction came. So it was needed. Hallelujah. He wasn't seeking it. Acts of Apostles 11 to 12. He already said, the Spirit told me to go with them. Acts 13, 1 to 4. Certain prophets and teachers, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, hallelujah. Acts 13, 1 to 4. I like this one. Acts 16, 6 to 7. Acts 16, 6 to 7. What that approach, listen, what that approach of we can do it that way, and do you know what it does? It shuts Jesus out of the whole thing. It shuts the Spirit out of the whole thing. And it makes man the initiator of everything. So I just come today and say, in fact, I've been in meetings where they said, in this meeting, we're just going to prophesy. No other manifestations tonight. Just prophecy. Because it's your team. Praise God. Hey? Hallelujah. I've been in a meeting where they give us instruction that there should be no power gift. We should just flow in revelation gift. I mean, what is that? Who gave us such, you know, basis for walking in the Spirit of Spirit? It's not found in scriptures. Because it is according to the Spirit. The Spirit knows what is needed. You are not the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you know that in this meeting, you know, just prophecy. Now, you know the funny thing is, in that meeting, you may not be required to prophesy. Amen. What might be required of you in that meeting might be the gift of healing. But because we already said no gift of healing, just prophecy, we've shut you out. So what happens to you? You have to produce prophecy. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Alright, Nicole. It's a serious matter. You have to do what? Produce prophecy. Amen. So you come and say, it's our year. Praise God. It's our year. Yes, I see. Many people will come out of darkness. You know, you the tell them, praise God. You just be saying things because you are now under pressure to fit into a mold. We don't have any basis for that in the Bible. Hallelujah. Acts 16, 6 to 7. You will shut Jesus out of his church. When that begins to happen, a man will be at the center. Acts 16, 6 to 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Glory to God. The Spirit did not what? Permit them. What does this suggest? It is clear that the will of these men and the Spirit was in conflict. Isn't that clear? They wanted to do one thing. The Holy Ghost said, no. This is even very instructive. This is the gospel. The gospel that has been committed to us. That is, I know what to say. And I've been told to go into all the world, right? And I want to go into all the world. The Spirit said, no. Don't go to Asia. Hallelujah. So it means it cannot be your will operating things. It is clear that the Holy Ghost can have an agenda. You also have an agenda. And you have to submit to the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So it is not dependent on the will of man, but on the Spirit of God. Amen. Look at Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing what? Both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Hallelujah. Mark the phrases, God also bearing witness. God also bearing witness. Gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Those three things, they are very important. God also bearing witness. Who is bearing witness? Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are they your gifts? Gifts of who? The Holy Spirit. According to whose will? His own will. Praise God. Let's write. The phrase, also bearing witness. The phrase, also bearing witness, is from one Greek word. The phrase, also bearing witness, is from one Greek word which means to testify jointly. Which means to testify further jointly. Which means to testify further jointly. Or to unite in adding evidence. To unite in adding evidence. It also means to corroborate. It also means to corroborate. Glory to God. We'll come to this word in the next study very well. We'll come to it well in the next study. So, it means to testify further to something. Who is doing that further testifying? God. So, because at the root of this word, particularly if you look at the word, you look at another word, there are three words connected. At the root of it all, you find the word used for witness. For you and I, Acts 1:8, we shall be witnesses. So we are witnesses, right? It now says God also bearing witness. So the role of God in our preaching of the gospel is to do what? To bear witness to the word. That is what you find at Mark 16:17-20. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord doing what? Was the Lord working? It says the Lord working with them. Right? And confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Is Jesus dormant right now? Huh? Is Jesus not doing anything now? You know what I'm saying? He sat down at the right hand of God. Who think that's the thing that is that he's on a chair? With his legs crossed. Sat down means he accomplished the work of redemption. But Jesus has an ongoing work in his body. So the Lord doing what? Do you know the context of, lo, I'm with you to the end of the age, is in the context of ministry. When he says, go into the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the age, he is with us. In the work, hallelujah. So as we are preaching, the Lord is doing what? Bearing witness. He is working with the word. Confirming the word with signs and what? And wonders. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, who was working with them again? Who was working with them and confirming the word? The Lord, right? Glory to God. So back to Hebrews 2:1-4. You know, he also calls them gifts of the Holy Ghost. Calls them gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, the word gift, as used here, is the Greek word merismos. The word gift, as used here, is the Greek word merismos. Or merismos. M-E-R-I-S-M-O-S. M-E-R-I-S-M-O-S. Which means distribution. Amen. It means what? Distribution. The distribution of the Spirit. Who is the Spirit distributing to? The people in need. Hallelujah. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has gifts for men. Right? Healings, prophets. He has things to give to men. Through us. Through the vessels. Through the man. Through the believer. So the believer is a channel. The Holy Ghost has things to give to men. Hallelujah. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. It means distribution. The writer, okay, the word will also is the Greek word telesis. That's the Greek word. Let me spell it T-H-E-L-E-S-I-S. T-H-E-L-E-S-I-S. Which also means determination. So according to his determination, he is distributing things. According to the will of God. According to God's determination, that is, God is the determiner of those things, of those manifestations. Glory be to God. The writer of Hebrews says, the things of the Spirit are distributed. The writer of Hebrews says, the things of the Spirit are distributed. The things of the Spirit are distributed as an accompaniment to the word. As an accompaniment to the word. According to the will of God. The writer of Hebrews says the things of the Spirit
are distributed as an accompaniment to the word according to the will of God. Hallelujah. God is the determiner of the manifestation. The believer is the channel. God is the determiner of the manifestation. The believer is the channel. Hallelujah. God is the determiner of what? The manifestation. And the believer is what? The channel. Say with me, I am a channel for the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Say with me, I am not an initiator. Say, I am not the determiner. I am a recipient and a channel of the operations of the Spirit of God. Listen, are you aware Jesus is here tonight? Praise God. The Lord Jesus is here tonight. So what is he doing? Praise God. When we have meetings where people are walking in things of spirit, and you know, Jesus is here. What is he doing? Looking. Just watching us. Wow, it's going to grow. Praise God. Ah, tongues a little accurate. Wow, that's great. These guys, impressed me. Ale, praise God. Jesus is walking in the midst. Hallelujah. He's the one saying to one and saying to another and saying to another. He's the one walking in our midst. That's what Jesus is doing. So we don't shut him out. Amen. The moment we start doing our own thing, forget it. That's not manifestation of the Spirit. That is man's infestations of the Spirit. Glory to God. Like Rebbe will say, man's infestations. You've kidnapped and hijacked the whole thing. That's what Paul was saying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Paul's teaching, you see an active working of the Spirit of God. An active working of the Lord in the midst of his church. Praise God. That's what he said. 1 Corinthians, let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. Let's read again. It's an active working. God is here in our midst. The Holy Ghost is here. The Spirit of God is here. The Lord Jesus is here. And he's the one causing men to do things. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. Can we all read together? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Can you see a presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. In the midst of all. The midst of these things. There's the Spirit of God. There's the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God in the midst of his church, causing us to do. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Hallelujah. Did you get that? How many of these things does he work? Who is the one working them? The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Glory to God. In the gathering of the saints, it is the Holy Ghost. That's why, listen, when we want to have a meeting and we say, oh yeah, let's work, nobody should be under pressure. Praise God. Nobody should be trying to do something. What are you meant to do? Just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Just be sensitive to what God will have you do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, why do we teach being filled with the Spirit? If a man can just take an initiative. You know, because it's in being filled with the Spirit, you learn to follow the leading of the Spirit. They are connected. And Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. You are filled with the Spirit and then you are led of the Spirit. So in the manifestation of the Spirit, the believer learns to follow the leadings. There will be a prompt or a prompting. You just know what to do. Hallelujah. You just know what to do. People have asked me, how do you know? How did you get an accurate revelation about that stuff? I don't. I just got it. Praise God. There's no formula. Hallelujah. The only thing is, I have done what the Bible says I should do. Stay filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because being filled with the Spirit is actually being under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And that's the same question I began to ask people. How do you get these things? You know, as a younger Christian. And they will say, I just knew. Hallelujah. So, that is exactly what we're saying. You stay filled with the Spirit, and you are led of the Spirit, and you know how to respond to what the Holy Ghost will have you do. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why was he led? Because he was
filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Filled with the Spirit. So the starting point is not you trying to initiate it by yourself. Right? The starting point is not, I'm here, I can just manifest anything. You know, that's the reason why some people go on evangelism, and every time on evangelism, they must give a word. Because they feel they are the ones to make it happen. So you find all kinds of pseudo-manifestations. Amen. Hallelujah. The name of your sister is Tunde. Amen. Tunde, not I. No, I don't have a Tunde. What state are you from? I'm from Edo state. I can't have Tunde as a sister. Oh, Edo. Oh, sorry. They pray. They pray. Say, no, not they pray. Pray. You just begin to manufacture things. By the time you call like 6 Edo names, you get one. You say, yes, finally got it. No. Did you see that kind of stuff in the Bible? Where people doing guesswork, Jesus says, you've had 6 husbands. No, it's not 6, 4. 4, 5. Yes, 5. Praise God. No. Hallelujah. That is reducing the potency of the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. Because if it is by the Holy Ghost, you can get it right, accurately. Glory to God. Are we clear tonight? Are we very clear? Alright. So, we're going to continue from here next week. Lift your hands and give Him praise and thank Him. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit within us. We are filled with the Spirit to learn to be led by the Spirit, so that when there is a manifestation of the Spirit, we know how to minister it appropriately. Jesus is in the midst of this church and is not spectating. He's not just watching. He's not standing by or looking at us. He's not passive. He's walking. Hallelujah. Walking. Jesus in the midst of His church.
Praise God.
So you don't need to be under pressure. No pressures. You are not under obligation to do anything. You do as led. You do as led. You do as led. Kalama shaka tela tala gabayate. Hey, gebalo so paradelia black black labayata. You do as led. You do as instructed. There's a knowing by the Spirit. You wait for that sudden arrival of information. Then you respond to it. That is the operation of the Spirit. Yes. Oh, gela manada, gela bala de la bala gara la baka bala braga bala shada bala de la da. Ela de la de la bela de la gabala de la de. Shela de kabala de ria bala de ria gabala su kabala de la balando. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. Yeah. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. You are glorious, Lord. You are glorious, hey, so glorious in your ways. You are glorious, Lord. So glorious in your ways. You are glorious. So glorious in your ways. You are glorious. You are glorious. So glorious in your ways. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh.
are glorious, so glorious in your way. You are glorious, so glorious. Hey, you are glorious,
you are glorious,
so glorious in your way. You are wonderful,
you are wonderful, so wonderful in your way.
You are wonderful,
you are wonderful,
so wonderful in your way. Hallelujah, thank you Jesus. We submit to your will, O God. We submit to your will in your church. You have your way, you have a free course in the midst of your people. We all in submission and in surrender. Thank you Jesus. Subjection to the Lordship of your word and spirit. Thank you Jesus. Your ways. In your ways, you are glorious, so glorious in your ways. Walking in the midst of us, you are glorious, so glorious in your ways. You are glorious,
you are glorious,
so glorious in your ways. Pray in tongues, you are. Pray in tongues, you are. Kalabala 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 shakata. Ela ba 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 kalabala kalabala shatale. Yale 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 la bala toria tala tala tala. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yala bala shuta bala dela tule ke bala satari ye dela bruga bala bala bruga baya tala ga baya ta. Ele le 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 bala tule dela tula gla bala ga baya dos. Yes, the Spirit of God having free course in the midst of His people. Yes, Lord. Hege luz ke tule ke luz ke rede. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shall I dance at the land or so for a toilet and a broken bottle? Should never get a little bit of a sudden idea. The Labaladia, hey, a gallows can't tell and tell it to the laboratory talent. I just saw a safety net over a particular family, a safety net over a particular family, specifically from robbers. Safety net over a particular family. Particularly against robbers. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God for deliverance by His Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. No loss. There shall be no loss of life or properties. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His Spirit. Yes! The noise may be on your street. It will not get into your tent. It's the word of the Lord. The noise of theft may be on your street, may be in your area, in your environment, but it will not get to your tent. It will not get to your house. It is the word of the Lord. It's a safety net. Kalabashaka telia gabalande le prokopolo sudebaradalia. Kulandaluska karande. Hele getula dende de lebelatula garadanda. Hey!
Thank you, Jesus. Check out all the other people. Check out the other group of people. Check out the other people. Yes! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Katala, galabala, galatunas, katala. Don't faint. Pray well. This is urgent. This is important. Make sure you are praying. Like I'm asking the Valate. Ferusca paratila calate la cava shakata. Ya de rule sita nalando. Hey! The laga balea de la bragama las catala de la druga baya shatalata. Get tele gamela seta vela tele get into la clam de cabayato. De jule te to titoricabas. Naria de la balaca la bragama cabalasca de la graga bayata. Hey! Elegate la galata la galata de la shata. Oh yes, pala pala to las gatine gladia de la balatine de dedia la la dia cos us kala bala galatine galadosia allo scotaria tine galadosia tine tilendo ye kala balandi she de la bala glanda kabasha tala tata tania tala tatai hey ya kata la katule galadia de balaje bella talo talia de la baloske. Yes, yes, yes. Oh yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So next week, we're going to continue. Examine the manifestation of spirit. Examine the place of God's will. And we're going to see the place of our own cooperation. What is the place of the will of man? Hallelujah. We're going to see that carefully in the next teaching. Hope you had a great time tonight. Hope you were blessed tonight.